a book, and a dish.
On 702.
16 minutes to 6. We look forward to it all week. We call it A Song, A Book, and A Dish. We talk about a special song in the life of somebody you kind of know, but you could indeed get to know them better. They tell us about a book that's special to them, and we talk about food. Favorite food, of course, but food in the life of a person with family and friends. What happens around the table, apart from the tapping of knives and forks on plates. Our guest tonight, well, had a big moment last night. It was the first episode of the second season of Lioness. The first season, much talked about. People couldn't wait for the show to come back. She's been in a whole range of television programs in South Africa and beyond over a long period of time. Indeed, played the same character in four series: The Queen, The River, Gomora, and more. Welcome to 702 Drive's Shannon Ezra. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It is so wonderful to be in studio with you guys.
Tell us this. I mean, did you watch last night? And if so, where did you watch?
I did watch. I was also buried in my phone as I was tweeting live, and I watched with family.
Okay. And were you nervous? I mean, you know what was there. You must have seen the rough cuts, the final cuts and so on.
No, but we don't get to see any of those things. Oh. I was sitting on Spielkes. It was a very nerve-wracking day.
Yeah.
Lots of nervous energy.
I've always thought that must be a very hard thing about being an artist of any kind, because other people are responding to your work. Maybe you're an artist, you've got things on the wall of a gallery, or it's the premiere of a movie in a movie house. And this was slightly different because you're at home. Do you have a sense of how people are responding, even though you're in what I assume is a very warm and supportive environment?
Thankfully, yes. We were very engaged with audience last night, because I was tweeting live throughout the show, and the feedback online was so immediate and so just so warm and encouraging, and people were really happy.
Okay. I'd put a pillow over my head, headphones on, and I'd watch. Let's go back to your first acting event, and this is, I'm just going on what I've read, narrating a nursery school Purim concert at the age of 4, and as I understand it, followed up by doing Elvis impersonations. I'm not sure many people's CV would go from Purim, which for people who don't know is a particularly celebratory Jewish holiday in the first part of the year. Elvis needs no introduction. Did you know then that the stage was your thing and you liked it?
Well, I definitely knew that it was somewhere that I loved, that it was definitely a space that I thoroughly enjoyed. But when I knew with absolute certainty that this was what I wanted to do no matter what, that was when I was 16 years old.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But Elvis impersonations, what was your showstopper?
Well, you know, there were a few. Blue Suede Shoes was a big one. Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock. There were a few. I just absolutely adored him as a child, and I would watch endless documentary. I mean, like small, like yes. From like 8.
Yes.
And I don't know, you watch it enough and then you start picking up the rhythms and the moves and all the little quirks.
So what's driving this? I mean, your dad, Larry, distributor in the golf business, Callaway Golf Clubs, your mom, Diane, with you, and your brother, Blake, at home. But was there lots of music in the house? Was there lots of talk about showbiz? Was this something they loved?
Oh, I mean, my love of film and television is definitely from my father. My father is a complete cinephile. I mean, he consumes at a rate that you can't even comprehend.
Yes.
You know, Sunday mornings were spent on a bed at the foot of theirs, you know, watching movies all day. It's a huge love of our family, and our house was filled with music as well. Very eclectic music styles.
So you grew up in Joburg. Mm-hmm. You're at Greyston Preparatory Crawford for your high school years. Are you finding in those environments drama productions, drama teachers that are satisfying this urge, or are you looking beyond that and doing stuff on weekends?
When I was studying at Crawford College, my teacher, Janet Bayliss, Janet is still today, she is a living, walking, breathing library of theatre.
Right.
And her knowledge is immense. And she really nurtured the love that I had for acting.
Yeah.
And the Crawford College drama department with her at the head back then, it was gosh, it was, she ran a really tight ship. It was a beautiful time.
It's interesting, and I guess you have to say it's good fortune if you get someone, because you didn't go to a drama, film, television school. You went to a high school, and we're blessed to find someone like that there.
But Crawford College, you know, when Graham Crawford first opened up the college, there was such a highlight on art. So not just drama, but the actual art department, who was run by Morag Rees at the time. There was, you know, they really wanted to cultivate that artistic spirit in people that showed that kind of promise. For the people that showed promise in sport, they were there for them. So there was a wonderful embrace from the school itself.
So let's talk food now. We asked you for your favorite food ahead of time. You said sushi. I don't know if part of your dad's catalog of things.
My father has never tried sushi in his life.
but did he ever play? Did you ever listen to Jackie Mason at home? Because Jackie Mason does this whole routine around sushi. I don't think I'll attempt. Well, I'll sort of attempt the accent. He says, "How come nobody ate raw fish before they called it sushi?" And he just jokes about it. He says, but I'm assuming sushi wasn't served every night. So what happened at mealtimes?
Well, my mom is a very talented cook, and she always, you know, Monday through Sunday it was a different meal.
Yes.
Every night we would always sit around a dinner table and discuss the day. She would make things, ossobuco, and I remember that pretty distinctly because I hated ossobuco, and it was a meal that I would literally try and put away in my serviette and then like throw away in the kitchen.
How did that go?
Very badly.
You need a large serviette.
It went in stages. It was planned. Uh-huh. But no, she made incredible food, and sometimes she made more than one meal because we were very fussy eaters, the three of us, my brother, my father and myself. So I have to commend my mother's patience.
How did the conversation go? Was it you know, lots of activity and energy and interrupting, or was it quite a sort of disciplined thing? Hang on, I'm talking, finish, give your brother a chance.
Gosh, you know, that's such a good question, and I'd have to really...
Maybe I should ask your brother.
I don't think Blake would actually really... I think it might be... I think, you know what, I think everyone's experience of the dinner table might be quite different.
Yes.
But from what I remember is that there wasn't activity. We would sit and we would eat.
Yeah.
There was always a focus on very good manners. So we weren't to put our elbows on the table, and you know, it was about the placement of the knives and forks. So it was actually treated quite adult.
Formal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I want to come now to where we started, and obviously season two of Lioness. I heard you say, I think after the first season, that this was the most intense role you've ever performed. And I've got in front of me an interview you gave with News 24, where you talk about how, in considering your own role as Samantha Hugo in season two, was actually quite a turbulent time for you, that you were wondering, what about this role was so intense, or has been so intense?
You know, Sam is a person who runs into danger.
Yes.
And she's a person who goes through such highs and lows. And it's impossible not to go there yourself, because you're generating that emotion. You're generating the experience where you see it on screen. And you're this authentic emotional experience, it moves through you, and you're the conduit for it. So it's, you know, I'm not a mother.
Yes.
And playing a mother was incredibly demanding. And I watch how my friends with children, that protective instinct to save them from anything, it is so evident, and it's so built into who Samantha is and what she's going to get up to this particular season, that, and also it's very intense, because the shooting process is a very intense time.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time, and we have so much to get through. So there are various levels of stress markers when you're shooting something of this tenacity and intensity.
So, I mean, your character, for people who don't know, the series framed, sent to jail, and a whole lot of other things ensue around family and so on. When your character goes into dark places, do you take yourself into those dark places yourself, and do you sometimes think, oh, hang on a bit, I do need to get out for a bit? Or is it controlled, and have you learned that over your career?
I have learned to control it over the time that I've worked, and but sometimes you might slip. Yeah. Sometimes you have a slip and you get a little too far down the rabbit hole, and it can be very challenging to get out, which is why it is very important for actors to be able to debrief after these long, these very short, intensive spurts of filming.
So let's talk books. I mean, books, part of your life from when you were a kid, the one you've chosen for us, which I haven't read, Wild and Wicked Things, Francesca May, a recent book, actually.
Yeah, that was my December read.
Okay.
And so it was my most recent. You know, when I was in primary school, I actually, myself and my oldest friend in the whole world, Rebecca Brett, we decided to have our own book club. Mm-hmm. And we did. We had a group of girls who would have a book club. We were all 9 years old.
Right.
And I was the worst at it. I never read any of the books.
Okay.
I really learned to read books probably in my 20s.
Yeah.
I had a stillness in me that could sit and really just absorb and digest, and I don't know, it's kind of like it becomes this voracious thing when I do read. I can't stop myself. And this December book, this Wild and Wicked Things, was no exception. I actually had to pace myself. I had to give myself an allotment of pages that I was able to read so that I could make it last as long as possible.
Just breaking news, there are other books.
No, I know. But you know, there is no, they don't talk about the grief that you experience when you have enjoyed a book so much, and then you've got to look for another book, and then you've got to get into the writer's new style. Like there's a time period. There's a mourning period between books.
I know exactly what you mean. I've experienced that recently.
Yes.
Briefly, if you can, the music you've chosen, Lizzo, I hope I've said that correctly, To Be Loved, Am I Ready? Why do you love this particular song?
It's just such a feel-good song. That's just a great, it's just amazing. It just makes me smile, and it makes me dance in my car, and then people think I'm insane.
Okay, well, there may be other people around you doing the same thing.
Sing? I hope they are.
Do you sing any good?
I do. I sing in the shower.
Okay. we must sometime put together a shower choir, you know?
Absolutely. I know the acoustics are amazing in there.
Yes, yes. Because I must admit, we have come across a huge number of showers. Shannon Ezra, many thanks for sharing with us your song, your book, and your dish here on 702 Drive. I hope Lioness gets the same acclaim in its second season that it had in its first. Sit back, enjoy, and listen to Lizzo. This one's special.
Sheesh. Girl, I'm about to have a panic attack. I did the work, it didn't work. Truth, it hurts. God damn, it hurts. That lovey-dovey was not a fan of it. I'm good with my friends. I don't want a man, girl. I'm in my bed. I'm way too fine to be here alone. On other hand, I know my worth. And now he calling me. Why do I feel like this? What happened to me? Oh, oh, oh. Am I ready?
Ain't no doubt.
Am I ready?
What you talk?